He's gone.
Dad, Mom says I came from an ape.
What? Is God real?
When did creation begin?
Think about everything.
And if you still don't have the answer?
Let's talk about it.
Active FM, let's talk. It's our show. I myself, Lwando, with my man here.
The blues man, Musa Wenkosi Ngwenya.
AKA blues man.
Yeah. In the block.
What block, Musa?
The block. I'm in this block.
How many blocks does an earth have?
Nine.
Planet.
Nine. Yeah.
Okay. Please explain.
Number one.
I think you have been reading a lot.
Is the first block. Okay. The second block is where the second block is.
Yeah.
Until the nine. And from the nine block, you just times that by I don't know, then you'll get the answer.
So he doesn't know. I also don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that I am in South Africa, in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what are we talking about today?
Talking about something interesting as always.
Okay.
And that's the 13th century, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It's packed.
Packed.
We are about to release, to deliver what we have. We are about to unpack. This is a show where we unpack.
Yeah.
So our topic is no age. And Musa, in fact, before, you know, we dive into our history, Musa will just read the scripture for you.
Yeah. And that scripture will be from Jeremiah 1 verse 5. It says, I knew you even before I made your body inside your mother's body. I chose you before you were born. I decided that you must be a prophet to all the countries in the world, he said. Bam.
Yeah, so that's the scripture. It's actually famous.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's out there.
Nah,
you know, even Musa knows the scripture.
Yeah.
You know, not those scriptures you wake up and you just start saying them out. You're declaring them.
Declare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting because this scripture has so much, you know, to do with us, and we're gonna really, really be delving into the scripture after our history. Don't forget, this is our show, Active FM. Let's talk.
Yeah.
We talk about things that matter. We encourage people, you know, how we actually do it. So,
there we go.
13th century. I was still trying to figure out, or I was researching about Mansa Musa.
Yeah.
You know? And I think there's something about the Empire of Mali. So there's a lot. There's so much. And what I want to do, I'm just going to probably, you know, focus on stuff that's very interesting. And please forgive us when it comes to certain words of those people
that
were existing at that time.
It's not easy.
And just to give you a small content, what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about the Mongols. Remember, I told you, these guys, they run this century.
Yeah.
The Mongols. And we're also going to be talking about England, something that broke my heart because most of the Jews, you know, they were executed, and it's so sad when you hear these different stories. You see what I'm saying? And we're also going to be talking about Africa, the empire which was in Ghana, how it came to an end. We're also going to be talking about someone, Musa told you just before the show, who's that person?
The person?
Yeah.
Marco Polo.
There you go. We're going to be talking about that dude. You know, I think he was crazy because he traveled a lot. And we're also going to be talking about, so England, it's obvious, we're going to be talking about the Crusades. And we're going to be talking about, as I mentioned, China. We have Japan at the same time. And probably there's more, but let's go for it, you know?
Yeah, let's
what do you have on your plate, Musa? That's right.
Well, Guns were also invented in China this time.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, we spoke about Marco Polo. The first mechanical clocks were created.
Yeah.
The first, you know, I love watches. So
yeah.
When I see something about clocks, I'm like, hey, okay. That was the 13th century. And the mafia begins operating in Italy. Yeah. And Cambridge was also founded in the 13th century.
Yeah.
Basically also, you did mention the Crusaders. And yeah, that's... Oh, the Jerusalem also falls to the Muslims in this century, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. As Musa mentioned, Europeans are beginning to learn Arabic numerals as opposed to Roman numerals and the zero.
Yeah.
So that's kind of famous. We know about that. It's... well known, the Fourth Crusade is underway. Pope Innocent III responding to the failure of the Third Crusade to recover Jerusalem. So, but at the same time, he also fails. I'll just say that. Remember, we're speaking about the Crusades. Mm. They once gained power over Jerusalem, and then they lost it to the Muslims. Mm. Now, what they're trying to do is that with the Third Crusade, this is the fourth one, and there will be a fifth one, but they will all lose. They won't be able to rescue Jerusalem from the Muslims.
Yeah.
And so we also have people called jesters begin to entertain in the courts of Europe. So these people were people that were regarded as not really, they were subnormal intelligence. So what they started to do was to form an art, you know, to entertain people, and people will watch them as they act fool, as they act as fools. And people will be entertained by that. And I think that's, just sometimes I would look at ourselves in our societies. And then in Western Africa, that's where we are in Africa.
Yeah.
We're just there in the lower parts of Africa. That's where we are. You know, in Western Africa, the Empire of Ghana has lost control over the gold trade and has been in decline. One of the Ghana's subject people, the Soso of Iran, Ghana's capital city, Kumbiyaka. Okay, there's no Kumbiyaka. I'm just saying Kumbi. 1204. Another crusade fails to work out as planned. Constantinople has revolted against the presence of crusaders, and crusaders have retaliated, seizing the city in 3 days. Orgy of rape. And so the person from England who was the king, who sponsored, who actually organized this mission, was happy. But when the king heard of what they did, really not happy, but he was just happy that, you know, they were able to overcome. And then we also learn about the schism between Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodox Christianity is complete. Jerusalem continues to be in the hands of Muslims. So they haven't rescued Jerusalem.
Mm.
And one of the things I also learned was that on the marshland at the dam of the Amstel River, people have started the village that will one day be Amsterdam. And then let's dive now to we have been in Asia, yes, around Asia. Let's go to Japan now.
Okay.
It says a Japanese SI, so from 1141 AD to 1215, has returned from China. He is a reformer, a Zen Buddhist, and has been driven from the city of Kyoto to Kamakura. Remember those words, Kamakura.
Kamakura.
And
yeah,
later it's what we know as Tokyo. At Kamakura, he has gained the patronage of military government. In 1205, he completes the first temple, Kenji, dedicated solely to Zen Buddhism. Zen is to become the choice of the practitioners of welfare, the Samaria or Samurai. Yeah, there we go. I got that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So remember we said we're going to skip some of the things. Sanitary texts living in Tafn Depression, about 150 kilometers southeast of what today is Urumqi, in China are overrun by Mongols. The Turks overrun by Mongols. Remember, we told you we're going to be speaking.
Yeah.
Now begins the journey of the Mongols.
The Mongols, yeah.
You know, yeah. So we're going to be talking about that, and which is very, 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 very interesting. And now look at this. Thousands of children with a few adults and clerics fired up by preaching against heretics start from Jerusalem. So they actually believe that they can perform miracles and all that, but they end up, you know, being persecuted. Let's go to the next point. Now we have, I don't know how to pronounce this word. It's Genghis Khan. So he's like this first, you know, leader of the Mongols.
Yeah.
And his army overran Beijing. That's where we start. Beijing is in China.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to actually just go for something that's so huge. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so they overran Beijing. These are Mongols. Now we're talking about the Mongols, and I feel like I'm just in a movie trying to explain, you know, the movie. And it says they ravaged the countryside, gathering information and body. Then they pulled back to northern frontier passes, frustrated by the growing power of the kings of England. So now we're going to England. Now we're going to Europe. We were in Asia. English nobles joined together and forced King John to sign a documentary they hope will protect them from imprisonment or loss of property without a trial by a jury of their peers. And now I am actually just moving to stuff that's important. 1217, the Fifth Crusade has begun. Remember, the fourth one failed, has begun. Now this is the fifth one. It was planned by Pope Innocent III, who died in 1226. Its purpose to rescue Jerusalem from Muslims. But remember, it also failed, as I said.
Mm.
Now, let's go back to the Mongols. Wanted to trade on his western frontier. Instead, his envoys were killed. He's now moving his army westward, overrunning prosperous cities such as Bukhara and Samarkand.
Mm.
The Fifth Crusade ended without success. Let's go back to the Mongols. Mongols, there we go again. Genghis Khan. Or Genghis Khan.
Yeah,
has pushed into Persia. Now, remember where Mongolian is?
Mm.
It's actually close to China.
Yeah, it is.
So now he's in Persia where Iran is. So he's closing to like places like France, Egypt. So he's close there. And this guy, I don't know how they used to travel, but it was amazing. The horses that they had, I think they were the best. And it says, defeating Christian knights, capturing a trading fortress in the Crimea. He has invaded Russia. Russia. Told you these guys are spreading.
Yeah.
It says, on his way back home in 1223, he routs a Slavic army at the Battle of Kalka River.
Yeah.
Let's carry on. I'll just focus on this guy. Let me give you something before I skip. It says, the 1225, the manufacture of cotton cloth has begun in Spain. Back to the Mongols, at the age of 65, falls off his horse while fighting against the Tangut in northwestern China, and he dies. So, a Japanese who has been studying in China brings back to Japan Ken School of Buddhism. We did go through that. So, now this Mongolian leader, or if I can say a king, now dies. So, someone will actually succeed him. And we're going to be looking at that. Anything from your side, Musa, before I carry on?
No, carry on.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm sure.
And they say the son of Genghis Khan, Ogedei. I hope I'm pronouncing this word right. It's O-G-E-D-E-I. has sent an army into Korea to police defiance of an agreement with them, and the Koreans start a rebellion against Mongol rule. Mm. And something interesting, this is what they say, 1233, yeah. Coal is mined for the first time at a place in England called Newcastle. So keep that in mind.
Newcastle, yeah.
For the first time, Ogedei or Ogedei, the son of Ken, completes this conquest of northern China. So this is still the Mongols. So they have, because they have now they have succeeded their father, his father.
Yeah.
Now they complete. That means they invaded Russia. They're already here in Iran. You see what I'm saying? And what they do already, they invaded Beijing. Now what they're doing is that they're running over the northern China. So they have taken over northern China.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can actually see how these guys actually just started spreading back to Africa. Paradise eludes at least a part of Africa. In Western Africa, the Xhosa ruler, Samanguru Kant or Kante, I'm pronouncing that in my language, Kante, has been raiding and conquering people. Sanjata Keita, who survived one of Samaguru's raids a decade earlier, is leading a guerrilla war against Samaguru and defeats him. Samaguru is dead, and now Sanjata takes control of all the Soninke people recently conquered by Xhosa. And later, this guy will actually annex Ghana and takes control of the gold trade routes and rules a new empire, which is called Mali. Yeah, so now Ken's son, the Mongolian, what they do is that they have pushed into Russia and overruns the cities of Vladimir, Kolna, and Moscow. Yeah, so we still know those cities in Russia even today. And anything, Musa, from your side?
Nah, I don't. I'm more interested in the Jews.
Okay.
Yeah, the Jews.
Okay. So looking now at these Mongolians, and I love because this actually shows us something that was also taking place in Africa, and which is the biggest topic in our times, which is the whole thing about slavery. And it says, while withdrawing to their stronghold in Russia, in Crimea, the Mongols set up trade with seagoing Italian Merchants, exchanging many of their European war captives for manufactured goods. It is the beginning of routine business between the Mongols and the Italians.
Yeah.
From Venice and Genoa, and they are selling off slaves to the Mamluk Sultan of Egypt, who has a slave army.
Okay.
Egypt. With a slave army. So in Egypt, slavery is taking place, you know. So these things were happening at that time. You know, it's African people at the same time, they're also used to have slaves. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just a certain group and all that, you know. So I love that picture. And it says, in Estonia, Alexandra Nevsky defeats the Teutonic Knights to be seen as a stopping Germanic drive into Russia. So let's go on. Yeah, there. I love that. Now we're starting to jump in that story about the Jews. So the city of Avignon is concerned about cleanliness. It is decreed that streets shall be widened, that people shall not disgust into the street, refuse bath, water, dirty, death, and human filth. It is decreed that the Jews and wars, said, are forbidden to touch bread or fruit for sale in the marketplaces. Okay, I'm trying to go down because this is a lot. This is a lot. Monke makes... So the whole thing where they want now Khan, the first leader of the Mongols, to be also worshipped. And Jews in England are forbidden to live in towns that do not already have a Jewish community. And now this is where it all became worse. It says a boy chasing a ball falls and drowns in a Jewish cesspool. His body is found 26 days later. Some Christians believe that the boy was killed in Jewish ritual. 100 Jews are executed. So that's when it starts, and Musa will actually speak about that. And then we have Mongols are on their way to Baghdad. At a mountain stronghold near the Caspian Sea, the Mongols forced the surrender of the Imam of a Shia Muslim community, the Nisari Ismailis, to be known by European as the Assassins. The Assassins believe their Imam was chosen by God and therefore infallible. They had spread their rule through the terror from a chain of mountainous safe heavens. But in the Mongols, they meet a force they cannot intimidate. So, one day you rule, one day they come take over.
Yeah.
So, and an army that includes Christians and Shia, led by Monge's brother Hulegu, attacks Baghdad, the spiritual capital of Sunni Muslims. The upset caliph comes to an end. So remember, we spoke about that. Now a Mamluk army defeats the Mongols near Nazareth, taking revenge on the Christian crusaders that have allied with him. So, and it seems like this Mamluk guy was just one of the, he was also a Muslim, was able to actually resist against, you know, the Mongols. You see what I'm saying? And, but he was not at the center where they were strong. You see what I'm saying? This is where, yeah, where army branches that were out there, you know, in the frontier when it comes to different countries. So we have now been going down and down and down and down. And King Edward I of England forbids Jews to lend money on interest. You know, I don't want to touch a lot on that. I'm actually looking for this guy, Marco Polo. Yeah, let's look at Marco Polo.
Okay.
It says, maybe this is interesting also, the League of the Three Forest Cantons forms for mutual defense, a beginning of Switzerland. So I thought, let me just give that. So now let's look at Marco Polo is back in Venice following his journey as far as China. People do not believe him when he describes China as using paper money. Yeah, so I saw something and I did follow up on Marco Polo's something about, I'll tell you now, I'm about to, it says, did you know Christopher Columbus purportedly sailed to the New World with a copy of Marco Polo's travels in tow, thinking he would reach Asia and having no idea about the Mongol Empire's collapse? Columbus marked up the book with notes in preparation for a meeting with Kublai Khan's descent. So he was actually using Marco Polo's travel book. And he thought he was actually going to Asia and thought he was going to meet with one of Kublai's descents. You see what I mean? Remember, this is where the Mongolians are.
Yeah.
Not knowing that the Mongolian kingdom or empire has actually fallen. You see, but so when he reached like your North America, he was actually following using the book of Marco Polo's travel. Yeah. So I think that was interesting. So Musa now will be talking about the Jews in England.
Yeah, the surge of Jerusalem, that was in the year 1244. Yes. And it was hectic because as I read here, it says in 1244, Yeah, guys, as Luando said, forgive us with the naming. The naming is, yo, it's interesting. The Ayyubids allowed the Khwarezmians, whose empire was destroyed by the Mongols in 1231 to attack the city. The siege took place on the 15th of July and the city fell rapidly. The Khwarezmians plundered it and left it in such a state of ruin that it became unusable for both Christians and Muslims.
Yeah.
The sack of the city and the massacre which accompanied it encouraged the King of France, Louis the 11th, to organize a seventh crusade. So, yeah, basically, what I'm more interested in this is that when I was doing more reading, like on the topic we're doing today, some tab just popped up saying the end of the world predictions.
Mm.
And what was interesting is that here, what happened was the Israelites in Jerusalem, basically, the Jews in Jerusalem, their land got taken away from them. They got defeated by the Muslims. And if you read further, I'm sure you'll, in one of these shows in a few weeks, you'll see that they regained the city. But once they regained it, it was in 1967. And now when the Jews reclaimed Jerusalem, a lot of people predicted that the world was coming to an end.
Yeah.
Many, many people predicted. But before that event, I mean, there was also world predictions of the world coming to the end in like the 300s, 1881. You know, it carries on and carries on, which also brings me back to the Bible. It says that... you know what? No one will know when Jesus is coming back. Only the Father would know. And what the verse we read, it's very interesting because it says, "Yeah, I knew you even before I made your body inside your mother's body." So that there alone states not only did he know you, he also knew where the world is going to end.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he knew you. And here what's interesting with this verse is that he says, "I chose you before you were born. I decided that you must be a prophet to all countries in the world." So he decided for us to be prophets. I know there's a lot of people saying, "Nah, me being a pastor, I don't want that," but they want to push their own brand. What is that? You know, they're thinking pastor is in this block. You have to have a stage and you have to preach on the stage with your congregation. They don't know you can be a pastor in your own world. I mean, I used to play like a lot of soccer. I mean, in my grade 10, I played soccer and I didn't understand this thing of being a pastor. But when I started like a mini cell group there, that's basically you being a pastor to your teammates. You know what I'm saying? So it's not only about, you know, I have to have a stand, I have to be on stage. I think being a pastor is more work off the stage than what it is on stage. You know what I'm saying? But people are confused. People are confused and they're always going to predict something that's wrong because it's not in the Bible. That's when my pastor, Pastor Gavin Inston, once said that everything you believe that's not in the word is wrong. Which is true. I mean, look how many people predicted the world would end.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically on me.
Yeah. There we go. Also, just clarifying.
Yeah.
The Jews in England.
Yeah.
And they got there, and they were. I'll try to summarize this whole thing. So they settled there and. Says by William the Conqueror. And now what happened is that they became the part of the essential, or they were essential for the economy because they were good in trading, doctors. So they were skilled. And they were also at the same time covered by the law. You see what I'm saying? So they became this this high class, if I can say that, society in England.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And they used to loan, money even to the King of England. You see what I'm saying? So, but they were the only ones that were allowed to do so, not the other Christians and stuff like that. And it doesn't say that now people. It's obvious when one group is rich, do you understand? And one group is allowed to do certain things, but one group is sort of like, you know, apartheid thing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
So true.
So when now. One of the a small boy that died in that community, you see, the Jewish community, and that's where now the whole thing started. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I do feel like it sort of like paints the picture of what happened to the Jews even in Germany. You saw under Hitler. You see what I'm saying? Because these guys, they seem to be, wherever they are, somehow there's just this favor, there's this prosperity that follows them. You see what I'm saying? And now they end up, you know, being persecuted and all. They're not saying that they are perfect. They're still people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there's just, in a way, something about them. But they were exiled. I can even say to a point where they were no more allowed to stay in England. You see what I'm saying? England became no more for them. At the same time, how they were punished. You know, when people are dragged with a horse. You see, so that's how some of them they were actually punished. So just looking at that, it's so interesting, and being able to highlight stuff in the past. You see what I'm saying? And being able now to connect events, because I feel like there's actually a connection between these events, you know what I'm saying? And another thing, looking at something that we're going to be talking about probably next week, the Renaissance. So it's going to be amazing. We told you about the Mongols and we didn't even finish the stuff that they did.
Yeah,
yeah.
So much.
So we're going to be talking about the Renaissance, and I think it's going to be crazy. And again, just to conclude now with the scripture, because we don't have that time anymore. It says, you know, before I formed you in your mother's womb. And most of the times, the idea that we have about ourselves, it's like live up to your age. Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, it's like everything depends on our age.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So that means the more you grow up, the more you older, the more you're able to be influential. But when we look to the scripture, we start to have a different picture. You see what I'm saying? Because now the question is, what's your age? When God is speaking about your existence, when God is start revealing your how he knew you, you may not have existed to yourself, do you understand? To someone else, true. That's physical, but to him, or I can say your idea of the idea of who you are, it existed to God, do you understand? And that idea could not fail, do you understand what I'm saying? Because somehow who you are occupied, even though you never existed in the physical, but somehow you occupied a space in God's mind because you were thoughts in God's mind. So I think that's actually very interesting. Now, can we associate the thoughts that God had about you with age? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the point is, how old are you according to God? How long have you existed in God's mind? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my point is that I think there's no age. You know, there's no measure to say I started from this. I don't know, because I don't know when God started existing. God is without a beginning.
Yeah.
And I believe that we should not live up to the age, but we should live up to who God sees us. Do you understand how God sees us? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How God has actually planned our lives. Live up to who we are in his mind. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because I believe right there when we discover who we are, then something changes. You know, the whole thing about the abortion, because long time it was not abortion, but the kids will be born. And then we actually looked at the fact that these Christians, they believe that the Jews sacrificed this child in their own, religion rituals. So people at that time used to sacrifice small kings in all this, procession or process of rituals. You see what I'm saying? But in our days, we don't do that anymore. What we do, they used to sacrifice kids to their own gods, Baal and all that. But nowadays, we actually abort children. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I believe right there, the enemy has a plan. He's scared. He's always defending. You know, probably he's thinking, now another Paul might come, another Billy Graham might come, know what I'm saying? So he's thinking, hey, these guys, they're going to ruin. So what I need to do, I need to stop them from their mother's womb. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's very important that there's people, now that we have existed, there's something that is special. You're not being celebrated already. When we get to the world, we get rejected. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because it's so important, because the enemy doesn't want us to see the celebration over us that took place before we were even born. You see what I'm saying? So that's the most important thing. You got to know that in God, through Christ, because in Christ, that's where God dwells with all his fullness, and you are celebrated. And God doesn't want to let go of that special moment. You know what I'm saying? So right now, at this moment, I believe that you have been blessed by the word, looking at history, and so amazing things. I think I've learned a lot myself. You know what I'm saying? Too, And forgive us on how we pronounce our words, but I feel like we're improving. You know, we're improving. We're doing this thing for the first time, so we're improving. And may God bless you. May God bless you. His blessing be upon you. And now, what we're gonna do? We're just gonna close the show. So stay blessed out there. There we go.
Like what you're listening to?
Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM,
Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at /ActiveFM.